You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is so great to be with you guys. Happy New Year. Starting the year off right with the coach approach. My man, Ant, from 49ers Cutback. How we doing, man?
Doing great. Yeah, we're first day of 2026. First show of 2026. Here we go. It's going to be an exciting year. We know how it's going to kick off, right? I mean, 49ers versus Seahawks. Does it get better than this? The division on the line, the number one seed on the line. Like, this is exactly why you are a fan of the 49ers, just for moments like this and games like this. This is why you want Kyle Shanahan to be your head coach, because he's going to have more situations like this than not. And it's exciting time. And what's funny is we're going to mark the end of the season coming up, and then a whole new season of the playoffs is going to start. And I love that right now. It's going to be a fun time in 2026, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it like the NFL season, it's a lot, right? And so obviously the 18-week regular season, then you've got the playoffs and the Super Bowl and all those things and training camp and free agent. Like, the NFL has kind of mastered this. We're going to be in the news for a full year the entire time, no times off. Like, it's just nonstop. And, you know, for me and you, Ant, like, dude, you record so freaking much. It's impressive. And I just want to say thank you for what you have provided the past year. Definitely made my fan experience better. And I know a lot of people out there, go check out 49ers Cutback if you haven't yet. But I got to call out Sean here. He says he's talking hangovers. And he's saying, man, we'll know if John don't show up. I do have to say this. I am not at 100%, my man. But I am here. And there is nowhere else I'd rather be. And yeah, I'm alive and kicking, Shane. Thank you so much. Now, after this show, who knows? I'll probably be curled up in bed watching college football the rest of the day. But that's okay. So we've got a lot to talk about. This is Coach Approach. And if you haven't joined us on a Thursday before, we're going to be going through a lot of different things about the 49ers and then their matchup, personnel groupings, some different strategic things, scheme things that we think the 49ers will be using. So that's what we got. If you have questions, let us know. And shout out to Speedy. He says, finally made it to a live show. Usually listen to the podcast first thing for work, but hey, man, we'll take it. We really appreciate you guys. Love it and love all the Happy New Year's wishes. Happy New Year's to you guys too. It's going to be a great year. And we're going to start it off with a win against Seattle. Now, the 49ers were favored. As soon as the game lines came out, they were 1.5-point favorites. Now it's flipped the other way. Now the Seattle Seahawks are favored by 1.5 to 2 points, depending on when you're betting. And the over-under, the total points scored in the game, it's come down 3.5 points. What do you make of this change so drastic? Like, is there anything to take away from the money and the bets and Vegas and kind of the quote-unquote experts on how they're viewing this game from where it started? You know, when the spread first opened to where it is now.
I mean, I was a little surprised at first. I did think the 49ers would hold a slim edge, you know, probably 1.5, I thought was legitimate, because that's kind of where you see this game. It's going to be really, really close. I think that some people are getting some cold feet about the 49ers because of some of the injuries. The guys like Trent Williams, was George Kittle going to play? I think that that's part of it. I also think that, you know, Seattle's been rolling. I mean, they've won 6 straight. And the defense has been playing elite. You've got a situation where so many people still look at defense and say, hey, defense wins championship, offense wins games. Well, guess what? This is a game. And that's why I look at the offense of the 49ers and I'm like, they can win this game against the Seattle Seahawks. But I understand it. I think this one is really, truly a toss-up when you look at how these teams are built. They both got advantages and disadvantages, and it's going to be strength on strength in a lot of categories. And it's going to come down to which way it swings. Is it turnovers in the 49ers' favor that puts, you know, Seattle under? Is it going to be the 49ers' offense not able to get enough points that puts the 49ers under? That's going to be the big question in this game. So I get it, but I would still have the 49ers as a slight favorite against the Seattle Seahawks at home in Levi Stadium with that crowd going nuts.
Now, here's my question, and I'm asking for myself. The rain seems to have moved in and seems like it's going to be raining throughout the entirety of the game. Now, it's not like a heavy monsoon. It's going to be relatively light. But as of now, there will be raining from 4 p.m. to about 10 p.m. So the entirety of the window before the game, during the game, after the game could change. We still have 2 days. Does that affect the whole way in which you see Brock Purdy, who's playing better than any quarterback in the NFL right now? How do you see that?
I mean, I think it poses some concern. We've seen Brock Purdy struggle in rain games before. I mean, games where it's been light, right? That Seattle playoff game in 2022, there was some light rain, kind of dissipated off and on, and he ended up starting slow and then just going off in that football game, and the 49ers really powered through against Seattle. I think it's a concern anytime that right now he plays with a wet ball. But I will say this. I did a lot of research, thanks to AI. They helped me out a lot yesterday about Sam Darnold's effectiveness in the rain. And Sam Darnold's not exactly the most effective in the rain either, which I think kind of neutralizes everything. You look at his numbers, the best game that I found for him was actually this season. And in that game, he threw one touchdown and one pick and still threw 9 incompletions. So he wasn't exactly tearing it up either. He's had a lot of games where he threw 4 picks, struggled. So a lot of bad grades for Sam Darnold in the rain too. So I think that this is kind of going to be neutralized because I don't think either quarterback's extremely good in the rain. But as long as it's not a downpour, if it's a light rain, I think they can get the ball dry enough that Brock Purdy will be just fine.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel as well. Now, I'm not going to put a lot of money on the game if it's raining, but I do have confidence in what he's playing better than any quarterback in the NFL. Like, there's nobody at this moment, maybe Drake May, but with the people that Brock Purdy is playing against, that's where the difference is. And, you know, people talking about Matt Stafford and his like historic year, best year of his career. He's not playing great as of late. You look at that Panthers game, you look at the Falcons game. It's leaving a lot to be wanting. So can that continue? And then back to Sam Darnold, your point, that dude's got 9 touchdown passes and 9 interceptions in the past 8 games combined. Like, the Sam Darnold through the first half of the season is not the Sam Darnold you have now. And I would say the same thing for Brock Purdy whenever he was dealing with his toe. Not the same guy that you're dealing with now, just inverse reactions there. Oh, man, I'm pretty excited. Now, let's go through some of the injury reports for both teams because I want to know what your thoughts are on who will play, who you think won't play, and how that will impact with the backups and all that. So let's start with the Niners. Trent Williams, I just do not see as a possibility of suiting up. How old he is, never had a hamstring injury in his career. I don't think Trent's playing. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think the fact he's never really had a hamstring injury, he won't know how to kind of handle this thing. But I think it also is smart for the 49ers because, I mean, worst case scenario, you're playing next week in the wild card round. Let's give Trent Williams an opportunity to be ready for the wild card round if that's even a chance. And the best case scenario, he gets an extra week to prepare for the divisional round, and then he's really good to go. So I think it's just a smart move for Trent Williams to not be out there, even though they could really use him against a very good Seattle defense.
Yeah. So let's talk about Austin Pleasance then, because Austin Pleasance played really, really well last week, especially in the run game. He struggles a little bit with that speed, you know, edge bend. That's not really his strong suit. He's very heavy footed. Now you're playing against one of the best, if not the best, defensive line in football. They are crazy. What are your thoughts on, do you just chip every single play? Because the two plays you didn't chip last week, Austin Pleasance got in a little bit of trouble. How do you handle this? What's the coach approach to handling a backup left tackle in Austin Pleasance going to get such a good Seattle defensive line?
Yeah, I think first off, you get the run game going. Whenever you can get a big guy like Austin Pleasance moving that direction, offensive linemen always play better when they're run blocking first. But that also sets up the opportunities for the 49ers to do what they do best, which is move the pocket, boot, get outside of the traditional pass blocking sets where he will struggle a little bit. then you don't have to chip and you don't have to give as much help. It kind of just neutralizes that pass rush a little bit. I think that's the first part. Then when you go into traditional pass sets, which you're going to have to run sometimes, then you do chip. You do give help, and you make it easier for him to be successful. Even in the sack that he gave up, that was a play that was rolling away from him, and I think he thought he could just, hey, I'll just push this guy by. He'll never get there in time. But with the way that Brock Purdy plays quarterback, he will sometimes hold on the ball to try to generate plays down the field. So Austin Pleasance has got to make sure he tries to do a good job sticking with them. But if they get one-on-one situations with Austin Pleasance for some of the defensive linemen for Seattle Seahawks, I think it's advantage Seahawks. Even though I thought Austin Pleasance played really good in this game, this is a tougher matchup against Seattle. They've got some big dogs over there that can make some big-time plays. So this is going to be something they have to monitor and manage. But now Kyle Shanahan can figure that into his game plan. And I do think that they'll have a great plan of chipping, giving help, moving the pocket, running the football, and all those things will help Austin Pleasance. And if he run blocks well, then that'll just help neutralize it on its own.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records in the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Well, Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. They also give you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep your login safe, and spam call protection to cut off scammers. That's my favorite thing. I used to get these calls all the time. It's been cut. It's done since I signed up with Aura. So if your identity is ever stolen, you are backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover quickly. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That is enough time for Aura to start removing all your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today, aura.com/remove, and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See the site for details.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Okay, what about Keon White? It has not practiced this week. Both days DNP for a groin injury. Do you think, I mean, he's been probably either him or Sam O have been the most consistent defensive ends we've had. Do you think he goes? Do they call up Robert Beal? What's that look like?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play. I think I'm concerned about a groin injury unless he gets out there and starts practicing, late this week. They're basically going through walkthroughs. If you can't go through walkthroughs right now, I'm concerned. And so I do think that Robert Beal Jr. will be, active for the game, and they'll go with him, and they'll lose a little bit on the inside. They'll count more on Etor Gross-Matos this week to kind of handle that role. And they'll go back to probably putting one of those defensive tackles back on the field, Alfred Collins or CJ West or Kalia Davis or Jordan Elliott, one of those guys rushing with that NASCAR package, and expect them to get a push. The big difference is this would be a great week to have Keon White, because this is one of those weeks you can kind of let it all hang out. You don't have to worry about pass rush lanes as much against Sam Darnold as you had to against Caleb Williams. And you could kind of go after him with all these line stunts and twists. So that's going to be a little bit disappointing, because Keon White would have definitely helped with that because of his athleticism and lateral quickness. And there's some opportunities against this Seattle Seahawks offensive line. So that's a little bit disappointing because I don't think Keon White's going to go. I still hope he can, but I don't think so.
Yeah, the amount of injuries to that defensive end room this year has just been staggering. I mean, there was one point where five of your top six DNs were out. Now, Robert Beal was a healthy scratch last week because a lot of those guys returned, but it lasted 1 week. It's what it is. And I'm with Shane here. I fully expect George Kittle to be back. Whenever he was asked if he's going to play, he said absolutely, which I think George Kittle would say that even if you cut off his leg. 'Tis a flesh wound. It's just what it is. Sticking with the Monty Python, like, she turned me into a newt. I got better. but yeah, so George Kittle, he's playing. Fully expect to see him out there, correct?
Yeah, I think George Kittle's going to play. I think Kyle Shanahan early in the week was trying to be noncommittal, so that way Mike McDonald couldn't get a for sure game plan together about stopping George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey. But George Kittle was close last week, and anytime you're that close where it's a game time decision, I think you usually go the next week. The fact he's been out there going through walkthroughs, he'll be ready to go.
Yeah, I think so. What about Juice? A little bit different with his hip, and like that's a little bit of a different situation. I know he wants to be out there. He's talking to the press a lot. Kyle Juszczyk, yay or nay?
Yeah, I think Kyle Juszczyk is going to play. He pops up on injury reports a lot, but he's a fullback, and these guys show up and get out there and play, and I expect him to do it. And really, the 49ers need him. I think that 21 personnel has been so beneficial for this offense. I feel like since Kyle Shanahan's had Juice, McCaffrey, and Kittle together, this offense is absolutely rolled because he knows exactly what defenses are going to try to do to him before they ever do. He figures out what their personnel groupings are and then goes and takes advantage of because he already usually knows what coverages he's going to see from a defensive coordinator. So with that grouping, with Brock Purdy pulling the trigger, that's what's made them so good. There hasn't been a lot of differences because that core group has stayed the same.
Yeah, I like this from JM. And this is the mindset that players and coaches have. We're a little bit different because we're trying to analyze the matchup. He says, don't care about short week, don't care about rain, don't care about half the team is out. No excuses, go win it. That's the mindset you've heard from all the players. Like whenever they ask about injuries or you ask Kyle Shanahan about this or that, doesn't matter. Like everything that you want is right in front of you from the start of the season. It's all right there. You just got to go take it. And the fact that this coaching staff back in 2019 was in this exact same situation against the exact same team, came down to the wire, and sure enough, Dre Greenlaw, one of my favorite 49ers of all time, you know, stepped up. Like, no players that are playing were a part of that, right? You had Bosa. I think he's the only one. Kevin Givens. I think those are the only – is there anybody else that was around in 2019? I think just Kevin Givens, Bosa, but I don't expect either one of them to even suit up this week. He's not suiting up either.
He's not playing either. No, I mean, you got Kendrick Bourne on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, he left and came back. Yeah.
Yeah. He was there. But yeah, you're right. There's not a lot of guys.
Yeah. Like that. That's it, man. Like but the coaches have been here. And so, like, I think that's a big deal. Now, CMC, I expect to play. Upton Stout, short week, concussion protocol. He's already limited. All right, I think he's going to be out there, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Him and Rashid Shaheed the Seahawks are both in the concussion protocol. I originally thought neither one of them would be available, but it seems like they're both progressing pretty quickly. So hopefully he will be. The 49ers could use Upton Stout in this game.
There we go. So now let's talk about the Seahawks because – every single team in the NFL has major issues. And yeah, Trent Williams being out is huge. He's a Hall of Famer, all those different things. Charles Cross, their best offensive lineman, their left tackle, probably not going to play either. And on top of that, their backup, their swing tackle, Josh Jones, hasn't practiced once this week with an ankle. But McDonald had some updates. Ant, what did you hear when you were watching the Seahawks press conference? That's the thing about Ant. He covers both teams, man. This dude's freaking MVP over here, Ant.
Yeah, I like to nose around a little bit, you know, see what I can find out and listen to opposing coaches. And, you know, besides Mike McDonald stammering around trying to figure out how he's going to defend Christian McCaffrey, he also let out the fact that he expects Josh Jones to play. And so that means that they're probably going to have their backup offensive tackle. But in what condition is he going to be in? And I think this could be significant for the Seattle Seahawks, though their offensive line has played pretty well this season. They don't exactly have depth. When you're talking about, you know, players that can step in and play really well, especially at tackles, it starts getting pretty sketchy. So that's going to be one of the key matchups. I look for guys like Sam Okwuanu and Bryce Huff to get some favorable matchups, and probably for Kubiak to try to keep his running backs in to help tight ends to give some chips as they try to help defend, you know, and hold off these 49ers pass rushers. I do think the 49ers have some opportunities to rush the passer a little bit, but I think where it really hurts is running the football. I guarantee you Kubiak wants to come into this game and run the ball 35 times against the 49ers defense and keep Kyle Shanahan and that offense on the sideline where they can go ahead and just dominate this game. And I think that that's going to be one of their main focuses. And if you can't run the ball successfully against the 49ers defense, well, that's going to put a lot of pressure on Sam Darnold.
And that's everything that Robert Saleh is trying to do. Try to make him one-dimensional. Try to stop the run. That's why Tato Bethune's playing. We're going to focus on stopping the run. We're going to force third and longs. Now, that hasn't worked against quality quarterback play. Phillip Rivers, 44-year-old, or Caleb Williams. Like, the amount of third and longs that you've allowed to be converted as a defense has been problematic. No pass rush, horrible coverage on the back end. And, you know, we got a couple questions here from John along this line. Are there any defensive players that the 49ers are going to be getting back? And to be honest with you, everybody's of the people that are available. This is a weird statement to say when talking about the 49ers, but of the players that are on the roster, most are pretty healthy. Renardo Green was the one with the neck, but he's back this week as well. And I think that's huge because you do not want Jarrell Luter Jr. against Jaxon Smith-Njigba. That is a matchup that nobody wants. Renardo, I think, matches up much better. But what are your thoughts just with the health of the defense? Obviously, the IR guys, that's a different story. But the guys you got on the 53, they're pretty much out there.
Yeah, I think the one concern, and now that Renardo Green's going to be back, is Keon White. I think other than that, they're pretty much healthy as they're going to get this season. And Renardo Green is going to be pivotal for this football team. He's done a good job this year, and there's been some mistakes. He gets beat on double moves at the end of halves and the end of games for whatever reason. That's just something he struggles with. But when it comes to he can play man coverage, it's not always super tight, but he can do it. He's also pretty good when it comes to sitting in his zones. He does a great job in coverage. So I think that they need this, especially with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I think Robert Saleh has no plans of having Diamante Lenore travel around with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He plans on getting in his three deep shell, his quarter shell, and playing zone coverage and making Sam Darnold be consistent with throws. That's going to be the name of the game. And Sam Darnold hasn't proven that he won't turn over the football this year. Seattle Seahawks, 28 turnovers this season. That is a bugaboo for this offense. And so I think that they're going to try to make him sit back. And John, we've seen it all year. Prove that they can consistently convert on third down. Seattle, 39% on third down. They're not great at it. So why not go make him prove it? This is not Matthew Stafford. This is not one of those guys like Caleb Williams that can create with his legs. This is Sam Darnold, and we've seen him in these big games struggle, and that's why I always kind of bet on Brock Purdy in these big matchups because of that reason.
He's prime time. Sam Darnold, exact opposite. He was in this situation last year with the Vikings where 13-win team, you go to week 18, play a division rival, everything on the line, goose egg. Absolutely look completely lost, goes to the playoffs, same situation. Then he changes teams. You got to give him credit for being part of a 13-win team. That's incredible, but Sam Darnold has not looked great. And you brought up the turnovers. The Seahawks are 31st out of 32 teams in offensive turnovers giveaways. They have 13 fumbles lost. That's dead last. They have 15 interceptions. Darnold has 10 fumbles by himself. 10 separate players on the Seattle Seahawks offense have lost a fumble. Like, it's not a one. Yeah, Darnold's very egregious. The next player is Jaxon Smith-Njigba with 3 fumbles lost. But they are, that's crazy. The amount of fumbles that this team has had, can the 49ers capitalize? Because they're not a turnover opportunistic defense. But if you can get one or two, that's going to kind of be the difference. And now you flip the script and you talk about Seattle's defense. They're pretty good with turnovers as well. And, you know, they're 5th in forced turnovers. So I expect turnovers on both sides. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, we've talked about the rain a little bit when it comes to the quarterbacks, but how about holding on to the football? That's going to be something for Kenneth Walker and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. In fact, in week one, it was Jaxon Smith-Njigba that fumbled the ball right back to the 49ers. So I think that is a concern. I think it's always a concern with the 49ers to take care of the ball. thought they did a pretty good job last week against the number one takeaway team in the NFL and the Chicago Bears, only giving up the one turnover that Brock Purdy had. Other than that, they did a great job. If they can continue that trend against Seattle, that will neutralize some things. And I think Seattle's going to give the ball to the 49ers at some point. So turnover battle is going to be huge. There's always the key metrics that are going to matter in a football game, and turnovers is one of those. Seattle is -4 turnover differential. 49ers haven't been good with turnovers all year, -5. The fact that it's that close and both of these teams have 13 and 12 wins shows they win in a lot of other areas to negate that. And if they took care of turnovers, these teams will be blowing everyone out every single week, because that's how good of a football team they are. To be able to overcome turnovers like that, it's impressive.
Yeah, I'm with you. Now, we've got some super chats I want to get to. Some more questions right after this. Everybody's betting the NFL in full do or die mode. College football down to the last teams, and the Super Bowl is just right around the corner. If there was ever a time to get involved in the game, it's now. And MyBookie makes it stupid easy to play. One account, one wallet, bet the spread, live bet the second half, hit the casino during the commercials. It's all in one place, and you've got the power. Go to MyBookie.ag now and use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and you get your first bet covered up to $500. If it doesn't hit, use your bet back bonus token, run it back. Don't just watch the playoffs. Make them pay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere, Texas, California, no matter where you are, only at MyBookie. All right, let's check in on some super chats. We got my man, Sean. Appreciate you, brother. He says, we appreciate both you guys showing up. Thank you for bringing in the new year, right? It was, man, Sean's the man. It's been great to hang out with him. He was at the draft party. We've had some good times. And yeah, I ain't going to lie. Chapman's struggling today. But I am here. And not like it's like some amazing feat. But yeah, New Year's, sometimes I don't feel the best. I know a lot of other people are feeling that way right now. And that's okay. Celebration is what it is. Daryl, thanks for the super chat. Thanks, brother. My two favorite Niner guys, that means the world. And like one of my favorite things, you know, we've been doing this 49ers Rush show for a while, is just I love meeting people and they're like, dude, thank you so much for helping me find 40 hours cutback. That show's awesome. Like the impression that Ant you make on everybody is awesome. It's been really cool just to see that and be a small part of that. Speedy Mac, thank you, my friend. He says Seahawks defense ranks 18th in DVOA and has given up the fifth most yards to tight ends. I think it's time for Shanahan to unleash the Kittle and Tonjes game. Ooh, I like that. Yeah, I mean, Kittle always plays well against every single team, especially the Seahawks. And so the fact that you have this Brock Purdy 6-1 against the Seahawks, you have Kittle, who's always been good. And this has kind of been one of the caveats of the Mike McDonald defense, is tight ends can get them into trouble. Talk to me just a little bit about what your expectations for Kittle are. And man, Kentonjes, is he even going to get playing time if Kittle's active?
I think we're going to go back to seeing a ton of Kittle, because the way that Kyle Shanahan's running this offense right now is George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey. Those guys are putting so much pressure on defense and kind of opening up everything else. And so what are you going to do? You can't take away both of them. If you do, you're leaving somebody else one-on-one. And we know with Kyle Shanahan, he's going to get somebody wide open and Brock's going to find him. So you can't do that. So then you're picking your poison. Okay, I'm going to try to take away McCaffrey on this. So I'm going to take away George Kittle, bracket him. Well, that's great. Well, then the other one is killing you one-on-one. And here's one of the problems with the Seattle Seahawks. They don't have the linebackers to handle George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey. I don't think they have the safeties as well. I think that they got decent safeties, but I think that's what's going to be one of the big matchups in this game. And this is what is becoming a problem for every team the 49ers play. Every single time I go to look at the film, the first thing I say is, all right, who's the linebackers? How do they play in coverage? What are they going to do?
And Shanahan does the same thing, by the way.
Right? He has to. It's just a matchup problem every single time. It's a real problem for Seattle. And I think that this is going to be one of their big bugaboos in this game. And remember, week one, George Kittle barely played in that game. But when he was playing, they were rolling on offense. I think if George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey are together, it's going to be a real problem. For Jake Tonjes, I don't think there's as many opportunities, even though we'd all love to see Tonjes a little bit more. I think Kyle loves personnel groupings from his 21 personnel more than he likes it from 12 personnel because of the matchup he gets for Christian McCaffrey with the linebacker. He gets an isolation a lot of times. So That's why you don't see it as much. I expect to see Tunjus on the field in some red zone opportunities. I think that's where we kind of see more Tunjus over the next several weeks because he is a red zone threat and he's scoring touchdowns like crazy right now. So I think that's kind of where we'll see it. But I think the league is moving towards 12 and 13 personnel. And Kyle Shanahan's kind of sitting over here like, I'll stay with 21. You guys are all getting used to 12 and 13. I'll stay over here. I got Kyle Juszczyk, and I like the matchups I get for McCaffrey and Kittle.
So that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you a little bit about is Nicky Monwori, you know, their stud draft pick, one of the candidates for defensive rookie of the year. He's been awesome. He didn't play much against the 49ers. He got hurt in that first quarter, and Kyle Shanahan kind of took advantage of that. Now he is playing incredible football. How do you see the 49ers kind of attacking with that 21-12 personnel? And for those that don't know, 21, the first number is how many backs. So two, that means, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk. The second number one, that's many tight ends. So a 12 personnel is one back, two tight ends. How do you see Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers offense, going at this Seattle defense personnel package-wise?
Yeah, I think Seattle's going to run a lot of you know, the packages that have Nicky Monwori out there. I think that's going to be basically their base set, that big nickel with Nicky Monwori out there. And I did a lot of study on Nicky Monwori coming out of the draft. He was one of my guys. I really thought he could be a big-time player in this league. And so what his strengths are, you know, are definitely coming downhill and making tackles. The problem is he's going to be going against some of the better wide receivers blocking. But also, if you can scheme this thing up to get bigs on him, you're going to have an advantage. I think this is a opportunity for guys like Luke Farrell, even Jake Tonjes and George Kittle to get on him. And I think you can run the ball against those looks. So I think that's going to be where the 49ers find their big advantage is when they, that's why you stay in a 21 personnel. You're going to go against a big nickel. You're able to run the ball. That's the advantage. You don't have the advantage as much in the passing game, even though I'm taking George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey over Nicky Monwori right now. But I think that that's going to be one of the big parts of this game is attacking Nicky Monwori. He got hurt making a tackle in the run game. He can do it and he's effective, but I don't think he can do it consistently. You have to look at that guy and go, you know what? We're going to run right at him, right? What are your choices? Let's run at Leonard Williams or let's run at Nicky Monwori. You're probably going to choose Nicky Monwori every time. I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to try to take advantage of him in the running game.
Yeah, and that's, you know, running off that C-gap, put Kittle on him in space and allow Colton McKivitz, who, man, that dude might be one of the better run-blocking tackle years of the past decade. And I'm not like, I understand hyperbole, but whenever I watch Colton McKivitz in the run game, I just see Joe Staley. Like, and I know, like, just like, I'm just saying in the run game. Obviously, Colton doesn't translate as much in the pass protection game, but good Lord, that dude is such a damn good run blocker. Like, it's pretty cool to watch what 68 has accomplished. Now, Quinn asked this, strengths and weaknesses of both teams going into the last regular season game. We talked a little bit about Kittle. We talked a little bit about CMC. Where are some other 49ers advantages that you see, whether offense, defense, special teams, where they have the advantage over the Seahawks team?
Yeah, I look at Brock Purdy, you know, and I think that him being able to use his legs and extend plays and create, you know, outside of the normal structure of the offense is going to be a huge advantage for the 49ers because Seattle, they can generate pass rush and they can hold you down in the secondary for a little bit. But as things start to develop and the longer you're able to kind of have the ball in Brock Purdy's hands, I think that's going to be a little bit of a problem for them. And I do think the way that he's playing right now, he's playing elite caliber football. This is the best quarterback going right now in the NFL, and he has to be against probably the best defense going right now with what they do. Some of the key elements of this game is Brock Purdy is the best quarterback on third down in the NFL, and it's not close. And the Seahawks defense is one of the best in the NFL on third down. They only allow conversions at 32%, which is really good. That's a strength on strength. 49ers, 51%, Seahawks, 32%. That's going to be pivotal in this game. 49ers can move the ball and convert on third down. They're going to shorten this game. They're going to win the time of possession. And that's going to put a lot of pressure on Sam Darnold and that Seattle Seahawks offense to play good. And then it comes to red zone, where once again, both teams are super good. 49ers, 66% of the time they're scoring touchdowns. And since Brock Purdy's come back, it's in the 70s, right? This has been crazy over the last several weeks, what he's been able to do.
5 for 5 in the red zone last week.
Right? And before that, 4 of 6, 2 weeks in a row. Like, they are scoring touchdowns in San Francisco. And you look at Seattle, they are a really good red zone defense, only allowed touchdowns 51% of the time. But I think those are some key matchups. But once again, I'm always betting on the quarterback that can get it done. That's why I'm leaning towards Brock Purdy and all these avenues, because the 49ers were 70% on third down last week. It's ridiculous. But those are going to be key matchups in this game. It's going to be the strengths on third down and in the red zone. But I like Brock in those situations.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I like this question from Maria. What's the biggest key to beating Seattle? Stopping the run or stopping JSN? I'm going to answer this one. If you don't mind, Ant, then you can disagree with me. I think you got to stop the run. Seattle is committed to running the ball. They're not one of the most efficient teams, but they have this two-headed beast, whatever, backfield. But if you force Sam Darnold to throw the ball a lot, JSN's got to get his. In this offense, I was trying to think of, JSN is, I think he's 100 yards away from the fifth most receiving yards ever in a season. Like, he is Ricky Pearsall on steroids. Very similar skill set. Maybe not as physical as Ricky, but that dude's space separation is incredible. JSN's going to get his. That's obviously, you want to limit that and you don't want him going all world. But if you can stop the run, I don't care if JSN has 150 receiving yards. You stop this run and you stop them in, third and short, fourth and short. You force them into third and long repeatedly. I think good things are going to happen for the 49ers.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, the number one plan is to stop Zach Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker from getting going and put the onus on Sam Darnold in big moments to find JSN. And the thing is, if you know that they're going to try to go to JSN, there are times you can somewhat limit his effectiveness. You can go ahead and bracket him, take him away, and put a lot of pressure on Sam Darnold to go a different direction, find a different receiver. And they've been trying to find somebody else, that can make plays. And they don't really have a lot of depth when it comes to wide receiver on this football team. And so I think that they have to lean on the tight ends, the running backs out of the backfield. I just expect Jackson, Smith, and Jigba to get 100-plus yards, and the 49ers are trying to hold the running game under 3.5 yards per carry. And if they do that, they're going to be very happy with that situation. You just look at week one, they let Jackson, Smith, and Jigba go off, but they won the game and they held them down when it came to points. And that's exactly what they're trying to do in this one.
I just want Jackson Smith. He's soft. He's a finesse wide receiver. And I don't mean that as an insult, but I want to make him uncomfortable. I want to hit him. I want violence, baby. I don't know if you watched the Texas-Michigan game yesterday, which is not part of the playoff. I'm a Longhorn. But, those dudes were killing each other out there. And it was awesome. Because usually you get to the bowl game and it's almost play or the freaking Pro Bowl back in the day. Niners were out there. Longhorns and Michigan were out there acting like freaking Sean Taylor in the Pro Bowl, just laying each other. I loved it. And so I want violence. That's what I want. Shout out to Speedy Mac. He said, thanks for the shout out, John. We've met a couple times in Tampa, New Orleans, the past few years. My girls love your invasions and environment and hospitality that is always shown. That is so freaking kind. And I appreciate that. And, I want to tie that to this from 49ers Throwback. Appreciate you, all that you do. George Kittle said, hopefully the faithful will bring it this weekend for them. I'm going to be out there at the game. I know that the 49ers fans, the faithful, I'm wearing the hat. Man, I want to wear this hat to the game with my rivalry jersey, but it's going to rain. I don't want to mess up the hat. Am I crazy? Do you ever, my favorite hats during the rain?
Is that bad? I do the same thing. I have rain hats. I have hats that are beat up that I wear during the rain. So no, 100%. Cause your bills start getting different. No, you gotta do that. You gotta park hats. It's just the way you have to do it.
Okay, good. I always need the validation in my life. And Ant, I want to say thank you. Now, if you are going to the game this week, any playoff game, any sporting event, concert, here's where you get your tickets. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, NINERS, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right, we got a super chat from James. Thank you, man. He says, no one thought we would be here, but we are. House money here on out. Love the one seed, but I almost want all the smoke and shatter the dreams on the road of everybody else. And just like put that stamp of domination down. Like, man, you go through all three road games, you win. Niners have done it before. Oh, what are your thoughts just on putting the entire season in perspective? Did you think that they would be playing for the one seed at this point? You know, after that October Bucks matchup when Fred Warner went down, like, did you think that they would be here?
No, I didn't. I thought that, you know, maybe they had a shot to hang on for the playoffs, you know, and maybe eke in just with the way that the schedule looked. But I did not think they'd be competing for the number one seed. I just didn't think you could overcome the loss of Fred Warner. You were already missing Nick Bosa. You didn't have Brock Purdy for a long time. George Kittle, you know, was out, and it didn't look good for the 49ers, and the number one seed seemed out of reach. And now that it's here, it's like, yeah, I want them to go ahead and get it. I want them to reach up and grab that. It's a big difference between having number one seed home field advantage where you get to sleep in your own bed, but also the fact that you only have to win two games to get to the Super Bowl instead of three. That's so big because you just don't know what's going to happen week to week. Every single game in the playoffs is a one game season, and it's so intense and things happen. The war of attrition's real. If you could go bye week, play two games to get another bye week, you set yourself up, especially with some of the beat up players, the older players the 49ers have, to potentially get that big Super Bowl win. And who would have thought we'd even think that that's a possibility, but it realistically is for the 49ers.
And man, every single team in the playoffs has some type of weakness. It's which coaching staff can kind of hide their weakness and exploit the other teams more. And there's nobody I would want in this entire playoff race than Kyle Shanahan. It'd be like Kyle Shanahan, probably Peyton, probably McVay. Like those three, I think, are kind of standalone, you know, overcoming and exploiting the other team's issues. And again, you talk about the Seattle Seahawks issues, it's turnovers on offense and it's linebacker play. So we have this question from Juan Nito. Where would you rank the Seattle Seahawks linebacker group? What do you think?
I don't think it's that good. I always look and I find, you know, that this linebacker group has holes. I thought last week's linebacker group for the Chicago Bears was a lot more capable of sticking with Christian McCaffrey. I look at this one and I say, you know what? Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle are going to go crazy. And I think even in the run game, I think if you body these guys, you're going to be able to get some things going in the running game as well. These aren't the greatest stack and shed type linebackers. So if you can get on them, you know, big Austin Pleasance getting his body out there and getting his hips turned, Spencer Burford doing the same sort of thing, I think it'll be just fine. I wouldn't call this one of the better linebacker groups in the NFL. I think it's huge advantage 49ers.
Yeah, I like that. I do like that. And again, you know, Shane, back to this. How many drives have the 49ers had? Brock, CMC, JJ, Ricky, Trent, Kittle. And what's the success of those drives? Hasn't been a lot. I mean, Brock missed six games or eight games. CMC, he's been the only constant. JJ missed some games, and even the games he was out there early wasn't good. Ricky's missed six games. Trent now is going to miss a couple games. Kittle's missed, I think, six games. Like, it just hasn't happened. But anytime Christian McCaffrey is out there, this offense is going to work. There have been no games this year where it was just like, you know what? The 49ers offense isn't working. What was the lowest point total from the year? Like, even during the Mac Jones games, like, you were still putting up points. You put up 16 points, 15 points against the Texans. That Texans game was rough. I was at that game. It was start to finish just rough. But that was kind of like the worst point output. But man, you're talking, since then you scored over 20 points, I think, 9 weeks in a row, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those nine games over 30 points. You got three of those games over 40, but like, there's not a better offense in the NFL right now. And so because of that, you win by winning two phases of the game. 49ers win offense, they win special teams. Now the Seattle Seahawks, they've got a top five offense, top five defense, top five special teams group. They are as well-rounded a football team that is left in the NFL. Now, my question to you, special teams, will the 49ers win the special teams battle this week?
I think they're good enough to make it a wash. You know, I do think that. I think there's some holes when you look at Seattle. They don't do things bad, but they have some things that they're not exactly great at. I think if they don't have Rashid Shaheed, that will hurt them when it comes to returns. That will be a big part of this game. They also haven't been as consistent when it comes to field goals as the 49ers, so that could be something of a concern. And let's not forget, the last time the 49ers played Seattle, Jake Moody was the kicker, and he missed some field goals in that game that would have made the 49ers victory even a lot easier than it was. And so I think that the way that Brant Boyer has his special teams unit playing, they're going to be up to the task. They're going to be ready to go. And I think at worst, this thing becomes a wash. I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers actually outduel the special teams unit of the Seattle Seahawks on the road.
Yeah, I'm with you there. We've got a question here from 323 Agency. Is Hulk ever going to get called up? That's Sebastian Valdez. He's been called up twice. You're only allowed to be called up three times, but both times he was called up, he was a healthy scratch, which is basically just a way to get him a bigger paycheck and say, we want you long term. I don't even think if there was an injury at the defensive tackle room that Sebastian Valdez would be in the mix. I think you've got Kevin Givens, who's been a healthy scratch. He would be the next man up. Then maybe Sebastian Valdez. I think Sebastian Valdez is a long-term play for next year. I don't think they want him getting snaps. I think they want to just kind of park him on their practice squad, keep him for next year, develop him. Because again, next year, you're not going to have Jordan Elliott. Next year, you're not going to have Kevin Givens. So you're hoping to groom him into one of those roles. I don't think Sebastian Valdez will get any snaps this year, even with another injury to the defensive tackle room.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You know, as soon as they were pulling him up, just looking at the current landscape of the defensive line room, I kind of had the idea that they were just basically doing that because he was doing so good in practice. He keeps getting, you know, practice squad player awards and things like that. So, it's a good thing. Get him some extra money. Get him some experience in the game time preparation. Just he can kind of be around, see everything that goes on. I like all that stuff. I like him feeling like he's, you know, moving in the right direction. And you're right. They might need to count on him next year. I do think Kevin Givens for sure will be moving on. And they've got to make some other decisions when it comes to veterans at the defensive tackle position. Probably going to go heavy a defensive line in the draft again. Sebastian Valdez figures into their long-term plans.
Now, another question, another defensive player. Shout out to Sonia. Will we get to see Kendricks any play time besides special teams? He's been called up twice as well. So he's got one more elevation. Do you think that he's just special teams and backup Mike, or do you think that he finds his way into the rotation?
I mean, I don't know. I thought he was already going to be a part of the rotation. I figured he would at least get some Sam linebacker, you know, role or some other snaps, but we haven't seen it. I thought maybe even getting Tatum Bethune off in obvious pass downs and going with Kendrick then, I thought that would be smart, but so far they haven't done that, and so I don't know what really will engage them and trigger that. But he's going to be called up for this week's game. They always had the plan to call him up for all the call-ups that they had, because when you get to the playoffs, like, you can just call people up unlimited. So it doesn't matter. He'll just be a part of this team for the rest of the time, all the way through the playoffs run. But right now it looks like he's a special teamer who's there just in case Tatum Bethune goes down and they need him to step in.
Yeah. And I remember, I think it was the end of the Colts game. Whenever you're up a couple scores, he came in as the backup Mike. Garrett Wallow came in as the backup Sam, and D Winter stayed out there at Will. I don't know who the backup Will is in our current situation, since Nick Martin's gone on IR. Like, who do you think is it Kendricks? Is it Wallow? Is it Curtis Robinson's been a healthy scratch because Wallow's been playing so good on special teams. So like, yeah, I'm not sure who the backup Will linebacker is right now. Ant?
I'm guessing it's Kendricks. I mean, that would be the smartest role. I'm guessing when he first came in, they probably told him to learn the Mike linebacker spot too, so he could have all the calls and all that. That's the most difficult portion. And then probably Will linebacker after that. Sam, you're playing a handful of snaps anyways. So that's one of the easiest ones to pick up of the roles. My guess is by now, Eric Kendricks understands the defense in entirety as far as all the calls, all the linebacker plays. He's a veteran. He's been around, played in a lot of systems. He just had to get used to the terminology and the difference in the communication. And once he's got that, I'm pretty sure he knows what he's doing now.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Well, Ant, is there anything that we missed that perhaps I didn't bring up or ask the correct question with this 49ers versus Seahawks game that's coming up in 2 days?
No, I think we covered it. You know, I think that when you look at these two teams, they're not, you know, strangers. They know exactly what they're going to get. You've got a Kubiak as offensive coordinator on both sides. Kyle Shanahan knows what Mike McDonald wants to do on defense. Robert Saleh knows exactly what Kubiak wants to do. These guys are familiar. So what you're going to get is you're going to get some of the same old stuff, but it's going to come down to execution. Who can execute the best and who can make the plays that they need to make? And it comes down to all the same stuff we always talk about. Third down conversions, winning in the red zone, winning the time possession, and running the football consistently. And if you could do those things, you're probably going to win this game. Also, can't forget turnovers, which could be a huge determining factor. But if the team that just plays better football, cleaner football, is going to walk out of Santa Clara as the number one seed and get that big bye, and I'm still thinking it's going to be the San Francisco 49ers who don't generate a lot of penalties right now. They've been doing a really good job with that. They've been taking care of the football better since Brock Purdy got back. They're the best third down offense in the NFL. They're the best red zone offense in the NFL going right now, and they've got the best quarterback. I know Seattle's got the best defense, but I'm going with the other one because of what they're doing right now. Yeah, they're just too good.
The NFL has completely redesigned the NFL to benefit offense and quarterback play. It's a good time to have the best quarterback in the NFL. Maybe one of the last hurdles, one of the last question marks for Brock Purdy. Can he produce at that elite rate in precipitation games? Maybe this is kind of the last, you know, hey, yeah, I could do it all. And I hope that's the case. I really, really do. Scott, thank you for the super chat. How important do you think this game is for overall chances of the Super Bowl? I mean, shoot. Winning three games as opposed to four games on the road. The rest, get to stay at home. I don't want to put percentages on it because it's a little too complex. 14 teams. You know, you're talking, what's that, like 7% right off the top of my head. So every single team that makes it to the playoffs, 7%, you make it to that next round. Man, a difference between a 7% to maybe a 15% jump, maybe? I don't know. You got any numbers you want to put to this, Ant?
I got no numbers. I just know that it's better to sleep in your bed every single night and rest. You're going to have the sleep advantage in every single game and days advantage in every single game when it comes to preparation. And the 49ers have never had a situation where they got to sleep in their bed before a Super Bowl. That is something that's huge to know that you can stay home. You don't have to worry about practice fields, none of that hoopla. You don't have to worry about all the other things that come along with the Super Bowl. It makes things a lot easier. You can have more of a focus. So I know the benefits of that part of it. Preparation, being comfortable, and being in your element is something that's huge. And you're always going to have the home crowd the entire time, which means no silent counts for your football team. Preparation-wise, that's huge.
Yeah. You mean to tell me if the 49ers just would have played a home game in San Diego, there would have never been a Jerry Rice, Deion Sanders falling out the night before? I don't know why I brought that up because it made me mad. But we won the Super Bowl, and so I'll take that. But then Deion could not come back because he got his feelings hurt. Poor little Deion. He went and got paid. So it's what it is. So, Ant, you are the freaking man. I want to say thank you. Everybody go check out 49ers Cutback. Check out the Patreon. Support. When you get good content like what Ant puts out, you got to support. Go hit subscribe, follow everywhere you watch and or listen. That's going to do it for us here. A little bit of a short show as the struggle continues for Chapman. I'm going to go curl up in a ball, watch some college football, and enjoy the start to the new year. You guys are the best. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.